Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Leslie Silva. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Irving Berlin once stated, "Talent is only a starting point in business. You've got to keep working that talent." Every one of us has been given a talent by God. Sadly, not all of us are aware of it. And even those who are don't always develop it. We depend on it early on in our lives because it sets us apart. But the challenge comes really when we need to cultivate it. That takes work. Our guest today has many talents. And from an early age, she has developed it to the point where her days get brighter and brighter and opportunities open. I'm grateful she's here with us to be an inspiration to you. We also want to let you know why we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. It's because we firmly believe that the Lord has given us this great privilege of leading you closer to Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you might be facing right now, to lead you to the Lord. Growing up in a musical Scotch-Irish home, Arlene Newman Van Asperen did her first TV appearance at the age of 5 on a show called The Uncle Gus Show, filmed in New Hampshire. Her father is a bagpiper minister and her mother a teacher. She started dance at a very young age and competed in many pageants. She found her passion in acting. Arlene has acted in Soul Surfer, opposite Kevin Sorbo. I guess you can say you played opposite Hercules.
Hercules' wife.
Hercules' wife. Princess Kaiulani, Lost, Fantasy Island, and more. She also won, in 2005, the Mrs. Hawaii pageant. She's married to Bill. They have one child, one dear son, a golden son. Kula is his name. Arlene, we're so blessed to have you with us. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what was it like growing up in New Hampshire?
Cold. That's why I moved to Hawaii. And one of the reasons, yes. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to live here in Hawaii?
Sure, you know? Sure.
No, I live in New Hampshire. I mean, that's where most of my family is. And uh-huh. It's definitely a culture shock, different from Hawaii. But it's beautiful, especially in the summer and the spring.
Describe it for us.
Well, the fall, the colors are magnificent. I think that's what heaven must have. When you look at, I grew up on a lake. And in the fall, there's bright oranges and reds. And it's just really beautiful. And we always had a rowboat or a sailboat or something to go on the water. And just real peaceful, great fishing. My father always talks about the fishing and how big a fish he caught. That's always a phone conversation home. Yes, it's beautiful, but you should saw the fish I caught and the one I threw away. Some real fish stories. Yeah. No, but he's a minister, so he cannot lie. There you go, right? But there's no measuring tape out there in the water, so...
What did you appreciate most?
Oh, you know what? Growing up in a Scotch-Irish home, we never had a lot, but we always had, besides music and loud bagpipes, which are beautiful, don't get me wrong, humor. We always had humor, and, that was one thing that we really, it was just part of us, you know, just, and it still is, you know, I have three sisters and a brother, and even when we get together, it's my father calls it the kitchen racket, because it just, we get together and we start laughing about who knows what, and just, and sometimes we have a signal where we have to raise our hand, like in school, because you can't get a word in edgewise. So my father will raise his hand, say what he needs to, and then excuse himself. So, but, and I love my family dearly. It's, and actually I was just there. So that I was just actually, which was a real honor because I live here. I was asked to be on the celebrity page for the Board of New Hampshire Tourism to promote tourism. And actually, I'd love to do that for Hawaii as well. But they have a celebrity page, which I was kind of honored. I'm like, I'm kidding. I'm so, you know, I'm an unknown actor, basically. But I thought that was pretty neat. So I did a photo shoot over there. So I'm going to be on the Board of Tourism.
Wow. That's
wonderful. Promoting fishing and bright colors.
And laughter.
And laughter, yes. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, our family at such humble beginnings. And my mom was one of seven and born in New Hampshire. But my dad was Canadian. And actually, that's another story. But my dad, when he met this girl from New Hampshire, wanted to stay. But he was actually Canadian. And then I was born. And then he went to Vietnam. And so someday you'll have to have my dad on, because he had several life-death experiences, like, you know, where he was shot at and his men were shot at. And, you know, he saw, he said he saw the death angel and just what happened to him. But with every person in your upbringing, that affects your life. Your parents affect your life. And that certainly affect my life, because I remember when my father, he wasn't in the ministry, but when he came back from Vietnam, I was the only child, and he had been gone for a few years, and my mom had had my grandfather, his father, live with us. So I basically knew my grandfather as my father for many years, and I was very close with him, Irish, and he used to play the accordion, and I used to do a lot of step dancing and jig, and that's why I was on the Uncle Gus show, because my grandfather wanted me to do the Irish jig on the Uncle Gus show. But when my father came back from Vietnam, it was he was very thin. He had been very ill over there. He'd had a bout with Agent Orange, among other things. And I didn't know him, you know. He was strange. And why was no longer I could be with my mom and sleep in her bed. All of a sudden, there's this other man. And he had terrible bouts with nightmares and flashbacks. And I mean, really, that's part of his testimony, but it's mine, because I remember it almost being a little violent at some times, where his temper was over the top. And this was before, you know, he got saved. And so that was a little bit rough. But, you know, a lot of times in Irish families, there's a lot of drinking, and there's a lot of sometimes strong hand. You know, in Hawaii, we call it Hawaiian love. But, you know, every family's got that. And but it's all under the blood now. But that was certainly a rough time. And then my parents, it was during the 70s, decided to go to Alaska. And we were like staunch Catholics, because, of course, being Irish, you have to be Catholic. And that's where they found the Lord, was in Alaska. And so that was exciting for me as a young person. So I actually went to school in Alaska and then went back to New Hampshire. And my father went into the ministry shortly after that. Well, a little bit after that.
Arlene, about how old were you between that time? About six when your dad came back? Or?
He was, well, I'm trying to remember, I think it was, I think I was about three or four, actually.
Three or 4 years
when he
old.
Came back. Yeah.
And then when you returned from New Hampshire, you were?
Well, we were in New Hampshire. You mean when he came back?
When he came back from Alaska. Yes.
It was like eight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was, but that was a great time. I loved living in Alaska. It was, you know, I was used to the cold. It was just colder with more snow. And, but I loved the summertime as a kid in Alaska, because you had, you know, 10 o'clock at night. It was bright. We could ride our bikes.
Didn't have to go to sleep.
Yeah, you know, it was, everyone had thick, thick shades on their windows. And then the winter, you know, I was used to snow. But I remember one October, we had a lot of snow. I mean, a lot. And and then, you know, we had moose coming down the street, and, you know. And then my father would take us salmon fishing, and we'd have to run from grizzlies. I mean, there's so many stories. But
that's a rich
beauty queen that ran from grizzlies. There you go.
And made it.
And lived to tell about it. And salmon fishing, yes.
You know, that'd be the side note on the tourism page there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe for the Alaska Bureau of Tourism. Yeah.
For more information, go to this link on our
That's
website.
Right. Learn to run from grizzlies.
There you go.
You know, Arlene, the richness of life that you've experienced is one thing, and the beauty of sharing it.
Yeah.
So generously, the way you share it. And with, I like the way she talked about, you know, certain forms of discipline. And, you know.
It sounded positive.
Yeah.
You made it sound like.
It's funny, you know, my father doesn't remember any of that now. He is as mellow as can be, and a pastor and loves everybody. And I'm just going, I remember when. maybe it was good for me. You know, I was a rough kid. No, no, I wasn't.
But, it rolled off your tongue with such grace and eloquence. But, you know, you're here in Hawaii now. And I want to find out how you got here. So when we come back from our break, Arlene, I'd like for you to share that with us, how you ended up here in Hawaii. You've become Mrs. Hawaii 2005 and a representative of Hawaii.
And it's a true honor. It really is. Yeah.
So I want you to tell us about that when we come back. And then let's talk about faith and how Christ came into your life and what difference Christ has made. I mean, we're here with Arlene Newman Van Asperen, actress, model, beauty pageant queen, and she's going to talk heart to heart with you. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Leslie Silva, and our featured guest today, Arlene Newman Van Asperen. Arlene is an actress. I mean, she's been in the movie Soul Surfer, played a big part in the movie Soul Surfer. Princess Kaiulani, she's been in the TV series Lost. And she's traveled, she's been around in life. And she's here to talk heart to heart with us about her life and your life and how God can work in you as the Lord has worked in her.
Mm-hmm. Arlene, earlier in the segment we talked about, or you shared that you came from an Irish-Scottish family, mm-hmm. In New Hampshire, Catholic family, mm-hmm. and you talked about in your early years, you and your family moved to Alaska, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that it was there that you found the Lord, your family became Christians. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that happened, that journey, and how that all
came
about?
Well, my parents actually accepted the Lord. I was still young, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And they left Alaska, went back to New Hampshire, and being Catholic, my grandfather was so upset he wouldn't eat dinner with us anymore. Mm-hmm. And I had friends at school that were just whose parents said, "I just can't believe you left the Catholic Church." I lost friendships over it, and I'm in grammar school.
Yes.
And you know, I certainly had I had always believed in God. I mean, I grew up with Catholicism, my mm-hmm. first communion, so I was always taught to pray, and even as a child, mm-hmm. I had that deep. You know, I always talked to God. Mm-hmm. I always knew there was a plan. I always knew that I had this special relationship with Him, and I always prayed. As a Catholic, I was taught, you know, do so many Hail Marys and Fathers and all that. Mm-hmm. But I love the Catholics because I think I work with a lot of the Catholic organizations and Catholic mm-hmm. charities. But what happened is when I came back with my family to New Hampshire, my father... long story short, was working with the Catholic Church still, but he was saved and was looking for a church for more, found a church in New Hampshire, and they kind of discipled him, basically. Mm-hmm. And he remembered that call that he had gotten from when he was in Vietnam about, he basically said to God, "If you save me, I will serve mm-hmm. you," but then forgot about it. Until years later, it was like God reminded him. Mm-hmm. And so once my father started getting into ministry, and we were always in church, you know, when you're in church, you hear everything, you learn everything. I was in Sunday school, but you come to a point, maybe it was about 9 or 10. I remember being in a service and hearing the altar call. And it was like then, at that age, it kind of clicked. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I need to do something personal. And I can't even remember the speaker, but it so touched me. And as a child, I was so scared to go up. Mm-hmm. And it was a big church, mm-hmm. all the way to the front, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they had a lot of people, so I snuck up behind. And I just remember that being really special. Mm-hmm. And then I remember every service after that, I wanted to go up front because it was such a, you know, it was such a great...
wonderful feeling.
Yeah, and a childlike faith, you're sure. Like, mm-hmm. Let's do it again. You know, this is great. You know, they probably got sick of seeing me up front.
Oh, no.
But, you know, it's that childlike faith, and uh-huh. it had such an impression on me that... later in life, I really, even now, I work with children's organizations that are nonprofit, but mm-hmm. things that really touch me are children's issues, children's abuse issues, as well as in the church, like VBS. I love VBS, Vacation Bible School, mm-hmm. for those of you that aren't aware of that. And mm-hmm. so over the years, I really feel it's a high priority to mm-hmm. give back. It's like taking an offering in prison. You've got to give back to those that can absolutely not give you physically or get them, but they bless you in so many other ways. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even see the blessings maybe till years later. Like when I run into kids I had in Vacation Bible School and they talk about that impression they had or what happened mm-hmm. to them, mm-hmm. you know, when they're teenagers or married, it really blesses me because that whole feeling of, you know, it never leaves them. Doesn't matter what happens in their life, mm-hmm. if they fall away mm-hmm. from God, it always comes back to that commitment time they made. They always remember that. Mm-hmm. It's like very special.
You know, you have a love for children.
Mm-hmm.
And you yourself, I love listening to you talk about your being a child in mm-hmm. church and how mm-hmm. you went forward and kept wanting to go forward every week. You know? But you're also, your dad was a pastor. Not
yes.
only was he a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah.
and you shared that, but he's a pastor. And so you grew up as a pastor's child.
And Canadian.
Okay.
Yes.
And you have a heart for, did God develop a heart, of a special place in your heart for children who are pastor's children?
Absolutely. And the reason I mention that is my dad is a Canadian because he was an outsider basically coming in.
I'm glad you made that point.
Yes. Yeah. And because, you know, in Hawaii, you're either, I hate to say that, but even though I've been here many years, there's a certain bond here about those that are here. You're either coming or going, or you're here to stay. Mm-hmm. And in New England, it's the same way. There's that bond trust. If you weren't from there, raised there, your family there, you're considered always an outsider. Mm. And so for him to come in and be a pastor, he was considered like an outsider. So, you know, it's like it is with God in the church. You know, we come in as outsiders, but God welcomes us in and gives us that feeling, that love. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the children, I see all of them. You never know what home life they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And when they come in, you don't know what they're dealing with outside. But there's something that comes in when they feel that touch from God. Mm-hmm. And my passion for children runs so deep. And two years ago, I thought this was going to be easier to talk about. But 2 years ago, actually it was 3 years ago, I had a lot of stomach pain. And I couldn't figure, I thought it was my appendix. And I kept going to the doctor going, I don't know what's wrong with me. And my stomach was semi-inflamed. And I go, something's wrong. And they ended up doing some tests and found out I had a large cyst on one of my ovaries. So I ended up having to go into surgery. And they found out, so they had to remove actually not one, but two cysts. And the doctor said it was a little bit of a difficult procedure. And then they said, well, you also have endometriosis, which is a gel-like. And that can cause infertility. And I was devastated, you know, just devastated. Here I am thinking I can just have children, you know, I love children and I have a wonderful child. And I just thought that, you know, this would not ever in my wildest dreams be an issue. My mom's one of seven, you know, people don't lose babies in my family. Mm-hmm. And they did the surgery and then shortly after that, I got pregnant, and we called it our miracle baby. I mean, we were so excited. It was really a miracle, and we weren't telling anyone. And it was like that, trying to get beyond that point, you know, and I had the ultrasound. And then I went to the East Coast for my brother's wedding, and I was on the dance floor, and it was like all of a sudden something didn't feel right. And I immediately went and laid down, and I work with an organization in Hawaii as well as on the East Coast that helps girls that are pregnant, helps them get free ultrasounds and helps them get things. And my sister called them, said they'll see you. And the volunteer doctor comes in and they did an ultrasound on me. And they said that the baby had no heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And I started throwing up. I was just like, God, how could you give us such joy, you know, and then take it away. And then they said, we need to take you to the hospital. I said, I'm not going to the hospital. God can put a heartbeat back in my baby. But I'm not going. So I went back home and went into labor. And I probably should have gone to the hospital. So they ended up having to take me in a car to one hospital. And then once I got to that hospital, they had to take me in an emergency room and an ambulance to another. And it was just horrible. And I just thought that, how could this happen? What did I do? Mm-hmm. Did I do something? Did I move some furniture? Did I take something I shouldn't have? Mm-hmm. And then I really was, I some nights would just lay on the floor in my living room because I was so grief-struck and, you know, struck with this, just crying out to God, going, I don't understand. And so I know there's other women out there that have been in a similar situation and, you know, where you've had a miracle happen and then you feel like it's taken away. And I just, I believe I'll get pregnant again if it's God's will. But I know God's got a plan, and that baby we named Hope, and my hope is in heaven. And I talked to a very good friend of mine who also lost a child. And we all become real close. Those that have lost child, there's a certain pain about it that no one understands. And even though I wasn't full term, you know, that was my baby. That was my baby Hope. Mm-hmm. She said, Your baby's not dead. Your baby is alive in heaven. Mm-hmm. Hope is there. Within a few months later, my sister-in-law, who was also pregnant, was in labor. She was full term. And then they found no heartbeat on her baby. And I thought I was going to go through it all over again. I know it was her, but it was like, I thought, what is happening? So much grief. And then we started filming Soul Surfer. And I kept it a secret. I didn't tell them, you know, but I thought, wow, Lord, you know, here I am, we're filming Soul Surfer and I should be giving birth. And I really love the Hamiltons and I love Bethany and she's such an inspiration. And I thought, wow, here's a girl who lost her arm, who overcame so much, and yet she can get on a surfboard and still praise God and still go on. I thought, it just so encouraged me. It still encouraged. You know, I still felt really sad for a long time, but it was encouraging to me. And so if there's any woman out there that, you know, you're crying in your closet, you know, and you wonder what God's got a plan. He does. He does. And he hears your tears. He sees them. He hears them. He knows everyone. And he's still there and he's still loving. And if anything, this that happened in my life, I don't want to call it a tragedy. I call it something because God uses everything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't allow things to happen without a plan. And there is an ultimate plan.
Mm-hmm. There is an ultimate plan indeed. You are saying things that only you and people who have women who mm-hmm. have gone through what you've gone through can relate with. Mm-hmm. And it's like God brought you here to speak in a special way. It's like a code of the heart that is transmitted, as it were, mm-hmm. that is understandable to everyone who knows exactly what you've gone through, what you've been through, and for them too. Mm-hmm. For them to know that you know. And I think it's like less like the Lord is saying, I just want you to know that I know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I want every one of them to know that I know. And, you know, we're...
Yeah, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about that, you know, there are women out there listening right now. And you know, there's strength in knowing that somebody has gone ahead, like mm-hmm. you talked about, Bethany, have seen an example that someone has kind of paved that road, gone through the hard times. But, Arlene, during that time, that process, you know, you're talking to God. And, you know, how did you come to understand that you said there is a plan for all of this?
And I got to be perfectly honest, you know, I've always been taught to, you know, especially as a beauty queen, pastor's kid, you're always taught to not, to always put on a pretty face.
Mm, yes.
Put your makeup on. You go to church dressed nicely. Same thing in the beauty world. You're not supposed to go anywhere without your makeup on. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have your nails done. In church, you know, you're supposed to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Pastor's kid, you got to look good. Even when I go visit now, you know, there's that, you know, code. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect. Mm-mm. Only God is perfect. Jesus mm-hmm. is perfect. And you cannot live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it was messy. I was a mess. Mm-hmm. I cried out. I mean, it was hard. It mm-hmm. was. I don't even know how to describe the pain of the hole that was in my heart over this. And the fact that it was because I was older, because we had been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about it, but I, you know, prior to getting pregnant, I was almost killed in a car accident, a hit and run that hit us. And the side mirror came through, hit me in the head. They said it was a miracle I didn't lose my eye. I've still got mm-hmm. glass coming out of my face and my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I can overcome that, mm-hmm. you know, that tragedy. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like one thing after another. And I just go, okay, God is using this. There must be something great around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I look at, you know, because I felt like Satan was trying to steal, seek, and destroy.
You know, yeah, a lot of times isolation will do that. You know, mm-hmm. you feel it, you put yourself into isolation and you don't open up, you don't share. Sometimes
right.
we don't even share with God.
Right.
And we try to buck up.
Right.
And we put the facade on. I really relate to that. Yeah. I can understand that. And a lot of women do that.
I just want to be real to women.
Yes.
I want you to know that, you know what, I even had a hard time going to church. And I'm going to tell mm-hmm. you why. Because I was afraid I'd be in the back row crying the whole service. And mm-hmm. that was just too much for me. Sometimes I could only go for a little bit. I could only go for the prayer. and worship, and then I had to leave. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I'm not perfect, and I know there's other women out there that can relate to me, mm-hmm. whether you're a pastor's wife, pastor's kid, or someone involved in ministry. When you're going through stuff that really hurts and is really deep, mm-hmm. it's hard to be out there in the front row of the pastors because you know everyone's seeing it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need to heal. Mm-hmm. You just need to have someone come up and not tell you how to fix it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just want you to hug me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just want you to tell me it's going to be okay and hug mm-hmm. me. I don't want a counseling session. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have 50 people come and lay hands on me. I just want to hug and tell me I'm going to get through it. Because it is a process.
I think people who are listening to this are healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just by hearing it.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. But here's the contrary. We need to take our break. But in my heart, you know what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying. I'm saying, go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yeah.
Keep going. Keep talking. Keep sharing. And when we come back, she will go on. She will keep talking. And you will keep healing and be encouraged and find hope. Hey, this is real stuff. This is real life. Isn't that amazing about God meeting us right where we are? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinena Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiwa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiwa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Leslie Silva, and our featured guest today, Arlene Newman Van Asperen. Arlene is truly a beauty queen. She's an actress. She's acted in the movie Soul Surfer and has been in the movie Princess Kaʻiulani and Lost and many, many others. And her life has taken many turns. And one of the great blessings of having certain special guests like her she shares her heart. And, you know, I've heard the Good Life Hawaii radio show has a certain quality to it that I think the quality of it is the realness of the way people share. Mm-hmm. And it's in a dignified way, yes, mm-hmm. but it's in a very raw mm-hmm. and real way that people can relate to it. We need that.
Yes, we
you
do.
Know, we need that in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, if you listen and want to pass this on to someone, say, this is good stuff, you got to hear it, mm-hmm. have them go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. If you want to find out more about the Lord, how to have a relationship with Him, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Get to know Jesus. Go ahead and click that. We also have some prayers on there. Prayer for healing, prayer for family, prayer for blessings, prayer for your children. Go ahead and click. There's a section that says, let Danny pray for you. You can go ahead and click that. And mm-hmm. it's just a way of ministering via cyberspace.
Yes.
We can still touch the hearts of people. It's just some resources for you, thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Yes, Danny, you know, you were talking about being transparent and authentic, and that is one of the beautiful things. Life is a journey, and we're on it together. Mm-hmm. And life is also very messy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're willing to be open, right. And which we really appreciate you, Arlene, being so transparent and vulnerable, but authentic in sharing this, that there are many people out there that are being blessed right now as they listen to you. Yep. And they are. And as we're ending the last segment, you talked a little bit about your miscarriage mm-hmm. and the times right after that and the feelings that you went through. And I wanted to ask you, the myriad of feelings that people go through, one of the ones that can come up and we might push down because we feel really bad about it is right. anger mm-hmm. anger towards God when things like this can happen to us mm-hmm. and many of us push that down because we think we can't be angry at God, that's not the right response. But could you talk a little bit, did you have anger, did you ever experience some anger towards God?
I certainly had my times mm-hmm. And sometimes I would just feel like screaming mm-hmm. And sometimes I would, because I, you know, I have a long drive, sometimes I would cry the whole way home. Mm. And it would just give me a lot of time to talk to God and think and ask Him. Mm-hmm. And just ask Him about, you know, how do I handle this? I'm, you know, I think everyone goes through a cycle of emotions.
Yes.
And the one thing is, though, is that God is so good and He's so loving.
Yes, He is.
And He... You know, He takes us wherever we're at. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I find so encouraging. You know, when I read the Bible, it's, you know, look who Jesus hang out, you know, who He hung out with. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, wow, you know, if God can love them, He can certainly handle me, hopefully. Because mm-hmm. you certainly go through, like I said, that cycle of emotions where you go the why me, why mm-hmm. me, why me. Because mm-hmm. I certainly, you know, as I grew up as a, you know, became a pastor's kid, I certainly had my wayward times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a journey. And to know mm-hmm. that it doesn't matter if you're a pastor's kid, how far away you go away from God, mm-hmm. God's always there.
You can't go too far where He can't reach you.
Yes,
that's
exactly,
right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is call out to Him. Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that we can do in our life. We may think it's the most horrible thing and can't be forgiven, but there's nothing that God cannot forgive us of mm-hmm. if we come to Him with an open heart. And, you know, when you talk about going through these feelings that you had, and right. perhaps anger might be some of it, you know, our listeners out there, you know, some of you may be struggling with having anger and feeling bad about having anger towards God, but God can handle our anger. And sometimes I think He just really appreciates the honesty mm-hmm. That we can share with Him. That is really what an intimate relationship is all about, and that's what we're called to have with Him and what He longs to give us.
And sometimes that anger, when you're going through that mm-hmm. and having that anger, sometimes you take it out on other people.
Exactly.
Sometimes yes. you take it out. I was angry. Well, I couldn't say I was angry with my husband. Mm-hmm. I was angry. I just went through a, you know, whirlwind of emotions mm-hmm. and not understanding. I just felt sometimes I was just losing it because it was just mm-hmm. not understanding. You know, some days would be good days and some days would be right. bad days. Right. And I remember, it's interesting, talking about hope, one of my first services back to church, there was a guest minister and he was talking about, I don't even remember what, and all of a sudden he held up a sign and it said hope.
Oh.
And I went, whoa.
That was a sign. a sign for you.
And he was talking about something, and he had no idea we named the baby Hope. Mm-hmm. Didn't know me from Adam. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, God is amazing in the fact that he will meet us wherever we're at.
Yes.
And he will give us signs. And it doesn't matter how far you run from God. He's always there. He's mm-hmm. always got his hand upon you. Mm-hmm. And I found that I felt bad afterward for being angry. I felt bad, you know, mm-hmm. how could I go through? Why was I feeling this? I should have been better. I should have been stronger. And then I just go, you know what? I'm not going to judge other people, and I'm not going to judge myself anymore. I'm just mm-hmm. going to let Jesus take me where I'm at now mm-hmm. and go on.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that there was something that you did. There was a step that you took and a choice that you made at that point.
Yes.
And tell us about that.
Well, I called my parents because, you know, I knew they were grieving. Mm-hmm. And after my sister-in-law had her baby born with no heartbeat, mm-hmm. I called my parents and I said, how are they doing? I want to know how they were doing and how my brother and his wife were doing. And he said, kind of amazing. He said, you know what we did? I said, what did you do, Dad? How did you handle this? And he goes, we asked everyone to just not call us for a little bit, to give us a little break. And he said, your mother and I, we knelt down and we worshiped.
Mm. You worshiped.
And I thought, wow, that was heavy. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, it was heavy. I thought, wow. Because even as grandparents, they were going through it.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
And when you think about worship, that's kind of not a real natural response.
No, absolutely not. That would be like the last thing I would think about doing,
exactly.
You know?
Especially if you're angry, the last thing, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do, but to worship, your parents made a choice to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They made a choice to worship.
It was really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good advice.
What happened mm-hmm. when... What did Dad say? What did Mom say happened when they worship? What happened in them?
You know, it's interesting. They talked. They said it was comforting. It was like big hands coming and wrapping around them and comforting them. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. It was like just this in like a physical hug, mm-hmm. which I hadn't thought about. But that's true. That's you know, they just felt that. And it eased the pain.
Mm-hmm.
It eased the pain. And again, knowing there's a bigger plan in this.
Mm,
and
yes.
I know that my brother and his wife will be able to have another baby that'll be alive and well, and it'll be a huge blessing. Because
mm-hmm.
it's interesting, you know, being in ministry where my family's in ministry, it's almost like in the media, you kind of go through your trials out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And people are watching how you're handling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they were watching my parents and my family and how they were handling all this grief.
You know, Arlene, oftentimes God will give platforms to people. And then he'll ask us, how much are we willing to work with him and partner mm-hmm. with him? And, you know, with your life and the things that you've been through, and he blessed you with platforms. To be able for you to share like today, to touch and help so many people out there, which I know you're doing now and you mm-hmm. will continue to do with your testimony being online, reaching out all over the world where this can be heard, that God is using you because you're faithful to choose to say, yes, I'm going to, like you said, bring my pain out and I'm going to bring it out to share with other people so they don't walk alone. And I think that's so important. And that's what we do here. That's what we try to do in the program.
Right, right.
So people don't feel that they're alone and the only ones going through something like this and feeling bad about it. There are others alongside to come and pick you up.
Well, I do want to mention that, you know, joy does come in the morning.
Mm.
And even if I spent the whole night crying on the living room floor, I mean, literally on the floor crying, you know, joy comes in the morning.
Mm. We need to hear that word. Joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
It's like it truly is a word of hope. And when we come back from our break, Arlene, I'd like for you to just take it from there. You know, somebody right now facing a tough time. We all go through it. And we don't know often when it's going to happen.
Yes.
We get caught off guard. We get blindsided. Bethany Hamilton didn't know that day that was going to happen to her. When we do, and when it comes, and we're in the thick of things, in the middle of it all, What would you say to somebody who is facing that right now? When we come back, Arlene Newman Van Ashburn will share. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Leslie Silva, and our featured guest today, Arlene Newman Van Ashburn. And, you know, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we want you to visit us. We've got resources on our website, thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can reach me by Facebook or Twitter and email me at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We'd love to hear feedback from you. And, you know, we're here for you. We're here to minister to you because God knows you. He loves you and he knows what you're going through, what you're facing. And so he sent here today, Arlene, to be in studio with us. Someone's got their back against the wall, figuratively speaking, right now in life, and is feeling such despair, a bit of overwhelming hopelessness that's more than they can bear. Arlene, knowing what you've gone through, having heard what you've shared, a parting shot, what would you say to somebody who's going through it right now?
I would say to you, don't lose hope. And if you feel like you're just ready to go over the edge or drive over the edge or end it all, or if you just feel so depressed that you feel you can't get on, go on. I know how you're feeling. And don't do it. Just cry out to God. He's there. He'll hear you. He's there with you. There's nothing so bad or so wrong that God won't reach out to you.
You know, and through that process of, now, you know, the picture we get is almost like, you know, the devil, your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone whom he may devour. Those are the words of Jesus, right? Speaking of the enemy. And, you know, sometimes it's an overwhelming... sometimes you can feel it. It's like an overwhelming darkness that just comes over you. And it is that despair and that hopelessness and feeling like, you know, I'm worthless. You become very fatalistic and thinking, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Oh, you know, it's the devil trying to say, you know what? You know, you're worthless. There's no hope for you. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we remind you that indeed, no, it's not the end. It's the start of a new beginning.
Yes.
God is using this as a launching pad.
Yes.
You hold on, cling to the Lord as best you can. Sometimes you just feel like you can only touch the fringe of his garment, you know, and that's all you can grab a hold of. But that's all you need. That's all you need to do. And the Lord will come, and you're really closer now to your closest breakthrough than you realized.
It could be right around the corner. And as they say, you know, it's darkest just before the dawn. And often that's true. And Danny, I like that you brought up that we have to remember that we have an enemy. We have to remember that. And I think too many times we forget that.
Yeah, and I want people to know, too, don't blame other people and don't look to other people for the cause of what happened to you. Forgive. Forgive and reach out to God. Reach out to Jesus, because blaming other people is not going to get you anywhere. It's only going to hurt you.
If we put things into a certain time frame context, a lot of what you're sharing was what preceded how God used you in the movie Soul Surfer.
Absolutely.
And certain preparation that went on within you, in your own personal life, you know, came on screen because of what you went through. And just imagine the millions of people that have been touched and blessed because of that.
Well, and when I was watching the movie, I could see the days that were rough. I could see it. You could tell. I'm like, that was a hard day. But it's a good thing that was the scene. And Soul Surfer is going to go out and just reach millions of people. I know it is. But just not just working on it, but the whole process of that movie has affected my life in such a huge way. And I hope and pray that my involvement with that will go out and touch millions of people as well. I hope in whatever capacity that I will be able to help young women, older women, women who've lost children, women who have gone through, you know, any type of pastor's wives or kids. I just have such a heart for all these people because I understand. I understand where they're coming from. And I understand how, you know, you can be in church and not be close to God. You can still be sitting up front in the front row and still be miles away from Jesus.
You know, when we're broken and we go through the agonies of life, you know, there is a sort of, I feel it, sort of an embrace of people that, when you know they've gone through stuff, you know, you feel more comfortable, more inclined, because maybe you're not going to be judged, you know, because they know it too.
Right.
And
And we're all messy. We've all made our own mistakes, no better than anyone else. And, you know, what strikes me as Arlene, you're talking, is, you know, how God can bring good out of things
out
that
of
happen.
Anything.
We may not get the answers to every question, but we know that
not
he
even
can
right
use,
away.
No,
exactly.
But he will use it like he did with you, is he took that and the richness that came out in your ministries, in the movie, that came through, you know, he can use for good.
And he put certain women in my life that had been in my life for years, but all of a sudden when I started going through this, who I called and would talk for an hour or two, that just because I knew that they understood.
Yes.
And I would talk and cry with them on the phone, and it just felt so good. It was healing. It was God used different things to sew up my heart.
He uses community, and that's what's important.
I think that's something. There's something distinct to be said about the body of Christ. You know, that in times of pain we go into isolation as an instinct. It's a far cry from where we ought to be.
Yes.
But sometimes if you're in a place where everything's in a veneer or mm-hmm. like it's covered with a veneer, mm-hmm. you can't go there. It's mm-hmm. just when you're in pain, it's hard to go somewhere where mm-hmm. it's not genuine.
Right.
But if the genuineness is there, there's a release.
There's healing.
There's a
yes.
freedom.
Yes.
There's a healing.
Yes.
And then there's redemption, mm-hmm. you know? And you testified of that so well today.
Yes,
and I know somebody's listening in there saying, man, I'm so glad I listened to this mm-hmm. show. I'm so glad the Lord sent Arlene to share this with us.
Yes, and we thank you for your transparency.
Mm-hmm. Thank
yes,
you for having
yes,
me.
Indeed. Well, Soul Surfer, the movie, you've got to go see it. If someone wants to go to a Soul Surfer website, how can mm-hmm. they? Give us some information.
Just type
on that.
In Soul Surfer. Type in Soul Surfer or type in Bethany Hamilton. There's so many links there now. And it's exciting because they're actually going to be taking this to the churches now. So if any churches mm-hmm. want to show the movie or have extended ministries mm-hmm. from it and they want to see the deleted scenes. I mean, mm-hmm. it's amazing because this movie is literally going all over the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a fantastic means of evangelism outreach, mm-hmm. evangelistic movement mm-hmm. to use this as a leverage point, this program, the movie Soul Surfer, and invite people to go.
Right.
You know, this is so well done. Mm-hmm. I mean, first class. And
it really raised the bar. It really raised the bar in movies and in producing a good product mm-hmm. that has something that anybody can go see.
Mm-hmm. The whole family can
The whole
enjoy
family.
It.
It's not just mm-hmm. a young girl's movie. It's right. for And it's not just a Christian movie. Mm-hmm. I've heard people from all walks of life that have gone, it wasn't what I expected. I loved it. My husband's a surfer. I thought, oh, goodness, how does he? He loved it. He loved the surfing. He said the mm-hmm. surfing was fantastic.
Well, in the next few days, you're going to hear more stories like this. Invite someone to listen and be inspired. TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Arlene Newman Van Asperen, along with my co-host, Leslie Silva, and our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll